Good morning. We welcome you to worship. So excited to be together. Did anybody see the snow this morning? It lasted half a second. Oh, what kind of snowfall is that? And here we are. See, we can't have snow and church on the same day. How about that? We'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple way we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you wouldn't mind taking that pew pad and write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it back. Oh, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask a last person when you are done if you could send it back to where it got started. The first person who filled it out, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things listed there in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Make note of those items. I want you to know a special thing that's coming up next Saturday is Hoops for Him. It's Championship Saturday. We have possibility of, well, at least one of our teams for sure, and will be in the championship game next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And there's a possibility of our second team. So they will be playing Thursday night to find out if they will go on to the championship on Saturday. So they are playing here Thursday night. And then the championship next Saturday will be at St. John's Lutheran down near the mall. So we will send out details in the mail, on the email about that. And we look forward to it's been an incredible season. Very proud of our players, our coaches, our fans. We look forward to finishing that up this week. Other things that are listed there, draw your attention to Monday morning Bible study. Also, the winter Bible study continues this Wednesday, and we look forward to continuing both of those opportunities. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. If you're a guest, we have ushers coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. They're going to come down the aisle, and they're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. In a few moments after the first hymn, we will have children's time, and I'm reminded yesterday at both, I went to several of our games and that we had teams playing in, and the support from College Park continues to be the best in the city. I'm so thankful for the adults who take time to show the kids that they love and care about them. And so I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful that my son gets to grow up here, and I want you to know that is what the body of Christ looks like. Not only coming together in worship, but as we go, we show the people of the world how to love one another as Christ did. And that's why we come to worship. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty of this day. It is beautiful not just because of the sunshine, but because the Holy Spirit resides in this place. When you are there, everything else makes sense. All questions and doubts and fears are answered. So, Father, we come into worship this morning, needing to be in your presence. Our deepest desire is to be with you. Be in this place, we pray. Hear us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanksgiving in your heart and give it praise.
morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I have a question. Do you know what the word blessing means? Yeah. When you eat, that's right. You do a blessing. Is anybody else? Let me handle this. I'm going to show you what a blessing is. All right. Everybody, give you a little sheet of paper. All right. It took me a long time to make these. Find the trees. Roll them out. All right. Everybody gets one. There we go. That's all right. It's just a sheet of paper. Doesn't have anything on it. All right. Everybody gets one. Even Miss Leanne and Miss. Now, isn't that a blessing? It's a sheet of paper. Isn't it amazing? It's not amazing? Well, wait a minute. What do I have in here? Let me see. Oh, look at here. We got crayons. Oh, isn't that amazing? It's a blessing. Yes. I'm giving you. No, you don't get to pick your color. Just here. Oh, thank you. Leanne thanked me. She's the only one that's thanked me so far. All right. Now look at that. Isn't that a blessing? It's a crayon and a sheet of paper. But wait a minute. Can I borrow you? I want to borrow your sheet of paper. It's a bookmark. Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Oh, somebody was making a paper airplane out of it, right? But you know what? You can color on it. Oh, this is a blessing, right? Isn't that good? Look at that. It's a heart. Oh, that's a blessing. But here's the thing. Many times, this is why I want you to listen to me. Do you have food? How many times do we take that for granted? How many times do we take a ride to church for granted? Or a mom or a dad? A grandparent who loves us? A neighbor who takes care of us? Many times God shows up and gives us a blessing. You know what the number one blessing that in your life? You know the number one blessing in your life? God loves you. When God loves us, we are forgiven. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. We take God's love for granted. That's what he's supposed to do, right? He's God. But the truth of the matter is, God loves you and me. And it's the greatest blessing of all. So my question for you, this afternoon, I gave you a sheet of paper. I gave you a crayon. Those are simple things. You can keep them. I spent a lot of money on that. You can keep them. But here's the question. How will you be a blessing to somebody else today? If God loves you, how will you show God's love to somebody else? That would be a blessing to them. Can you be a blessing to somebody today? Can you choose to be a blessing to somebody today? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you love me. I don't deserve your love. You have given me more than I could ever deserve or ever even hope for. You have given me your love. May I take the life that you have given me and be a blessing to someone else. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to your seats now. Good job.
Our scripture lesson for the day comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 through 34. That is page 683 in your pew Bible if you didn't bring your copy of the scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 through 34. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth. You will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all by heaven, for it is God's throne.
Still.
Let's join our hearts together in prayer. God, how great you are, and how lucky we are to call you Father. In the midst of our daily lives, forgive us for not realizing that you're craving a relationship with us. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. Forgive us, Father, for not drawing ourselves to you. Forgive us, Lord, for not focusing on you. As individuals and as a congregation, Lord, draw us closer to you than ever before. Through your pastures of goodness, your waters of mercy, and the meal that we always have at your table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Father, thank you for sustaining our lives. This morning, Father, this building has been filled with people who are struggling with life's burdens, who are confused about their purpose in this world, afraid of tomorrow, or simply struggling with the pains of today. Father, right now, we ask that you intervene in each of our circumstances, allowing us to be your hands and feet for the people around us. Whether that's packing a backpack this week for the kids here in Forsyth County who need a meal, whether that's collecting our dollars to help feed children across the world in Tanzania, Father, whether that's visiting our sick of the loved ones we have here at church, calling the people that we haven't seen here in a while, or simply loving the unlovable right here in this community. Father, use us right here on this street corner to do your work. Father, we thank you for this body of believers that we're fortunate enough to call family. Without the cross, we couldn't do that. But through the cross, you unite us all together. Father, help us to follow you and pick up our cross daily. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we have through the cross. Use us, Lord, to serve you. Father, we thank you for the ability we have to gather and to worship you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Pray together. Dear Lord, as Matt has beautifully said, it is a great day to be in your house. And we give you thanks for that. Lord, as we look over the past week and as we consider today, when we're honest with ourselves, we realize that you not only met our needs, but you went far beyond that. Lord, we are a thankful people, but I have to be honest and confess that we're often not thankful enough, because not enough do we measure what you have truly done for us daily, weekly, monthly, and beyond. If we were to catalog with pen and paper the things that you have done for us, the things that you have gifted to us, resources, and in many other ways, Lord, we could not fill enough pieces of paper because there would be so many things to list. Lord, I'm afraid, just like we don't always account for all that you do for us, we do not return to you enough with our time and talents and treasures, because often we tithe on what we perceive, not on all of the things that you do for us. Lord, help us to realize all that we have. Help us to give to you through time and talents and treasures in a way that you can not only bless us through that act of worship, but to use those things in our world to reach people in the name of Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you. We love you. Amen.
In case you're wondering, the candle is still lit. The Holy Spirit has not departed from us. The candle is still lit. We've struggled a little bit with the candle over the last couple of weeks. Last week, you know, it looked more like a flamethrower than it did a candle, and they're changing out wicks. It's starting to come alive now. Maybe we just need a little preaching to bring it alive. But channel, thank you. Fan the flame, sister. Feed the fire. Yes, yes. Channel, thank you. They joined us in the 9 o'clock. They joined the band in the 9 o'clock service this morning. We had a great time. Hope you enjoyed that. We really had a good time of worship in there, as we have here this morning. I want to read for you a passage of Scripture. I am thankful in my preparation for Pastor Steve Shepherd and especially the Interpreter's Bible, because we look at a psalm, which is Psalm 112, a beautiful psalm. It is what they call an alphabetical acrostic poem, which means if you looked at it in the original language, looked at the first letter of the line, and those form an acrostic, and that was part of the beauty of the poetry. And so for them to memorize, it was easy to memorize. It was also a beautiful way to speak it. We lose that when it's translated to English. But I want you to know that Psalm 112 is also kind of an exposition or an interpretation of the psalm preceding it, which is Psalm 111. So we'll get into that in just a minute. The next couple of weeks, including today, we'll spend in the Psalms. As we looked at our lectionary readings, I told Mary, I said, I want to preach Psalm 112, and I want to preach Psalm 119, which is next week, because it deals with blessings. And I think so often in our culture, we focus on what we wish we had instead of thinking about all that God has blessed us with. Amen? I mean, it's a trap. It really is a trap. So I want us to spend the next couple of weeks dealing with blessings. So beginning in verse 1, praise the Lord. We could stop right there. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Don't you want to be blessed in life? Do you? Do you want to be blessed? I think all of us have a desire to be blessed. More specifically, we have a desire to be blessed by God, right? Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. It is God's wish to bless us. And most certainly those who walk in his ways and delight in his word will be blessed. But what does God's blessing really look like? It kind of depends on who you ask. We were laughing this morning down front here. I asked them how they were doing, and they said, you're supposed to chime in right now. They said, I'm blessed, thank you. They were giving me my sermon title back, which told me they were the ones in the classroom that read ahead. So I'm blessed, thank you. You know, I was walking down the aisle at walking down the hall at one of our local nursing centers one day, and I said to one of the ladies who works there, who I banter back and forth with, and I've gotten to know her over the years, I asked her, I said, "How are you today?" And she replied, "I'm blessed, thank you." And I started to be really cute and say by who or by whom, but then I thought, no, I know. I mean, I've known this lady. You can tell by her smile exactly who it is that has blessed her. She's a lady that exudes God's blessing. You see, people who are not in Christ don't exactly get the idea of being blessed by God. They don't understand that. And some people use the term, "I'm blessed," or "have a blessed day," and not really get the impact of whose blessing it is they are seeking or conveying. There's an actor named Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp has made himself pretty famous in Hollywood, and he's actually from a little town called Owensboro, Kentucky, and he's done quite well for himself in Hollywood making movies. I read a couple years ago that his annual income is $92 million. That's per year. Annual income is $92 million. But from what I've read, Johnny Depp has no religious upbringing at all. He's either agnostic or atheist. Now, he may think he's blessed based on the results of his endeavors, the financial success, the popularity, all of that. He may think he's been blessed, but by whom? More people in Hollywood no doubt feel the same. Warren Buffett is listed, his net worth is listed at $46 billion, that's with a B, $46 billion. He may feel similarly to Johnny Depp, except for the fact he was raised as a Presbyterian, but now says he's an agnostic. I'm like, why in the world would... the way he explains it, he says, the nice thing about being an agnostic is you don't think anybody is wrong. Okay, but that means he's not right either. You know, because if you don't believe anyone is wrong, then by definition, no one is right, including you. And so an agnostic just doesn't know if God exists. But to me, that's still denying the very existence of God who gives blessings. Buffett probably feels like his wealth has come from the fact he's a shrewd investor and God really doesn't have anything to do with it. And the scary part is he may be right. Think about that for a minute. You see, some people have a lot of money and material things, and they think that's of their own doing, of their own abilities. But the Christian believes that if he or she has anything good, all good gifts come from God. They're a blessing from God. And you say, well, now what about those believers, preacher, who don't have any material possessions? Does that mean that they're not blessed? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, they may be the ones who are blessed the most. I mean, think about it. They're not trying to maintain a kingdom. They're not trying to maintain all of their property and all that. They may be the ones that truly are the most blessed. It's perspective. Scripturally speaking, blessed is the person who fears the Lord. That's verse 1. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord. And you say, well, I don't want to fear God. I mean, is it like God's up there and if I mess up, he's going to squash me like a bug? Is that what it's talking about? Am I supposed to fear him in that manner, choir? Is it? No, the choir says no. Believe the choir. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about awe and respect. It's talking about approaching God with confidence through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we would dare not because of our sin. The awe and the respect for our God who gave us life and who gives us life eternal through the sacrifice of his Son. Our psalm tells us, blessed is the person who fears the Lord. How are we blessed? If we have that kind of awe for him, how are we blessed? This psalm tells us, breaks it up in about three different parts. The first is that their children will be mighty. The second is that their life will be blessed with good. And the third is their spirit will never be shaken. So let's take a look at these. First one, Their children will be mighty. Look at verse 2 again. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The New Century Version translation says, their descendants will be powerful in the land. The children of honest people will be blessed. So what does that look like? Children who will be mighty in the land and blessed need godly, spiritually minded parents who are concerned about their children's education and training. Paul, as he was writing to the church at Ephesus, he was trying to give them, you know, an Old Testament truth along with some common sense advice. And he did that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. The training of children will consider all aspects and all areas of life. That's home, that's church, that's school, that's society, that's friendships. That's all of our areas of influence. And you say, well, I don't have any biological children. It doesn't matter. You have spiritual children running all over this church, don't you? You have spiritual children running all over this church. If you're a prayer partner for a child, you're a spiritual parent to them. If you say hello to the children as they come by to you, you're a spiritual parent to that child. If you speak to our kids that come in on Wednesday night, you know, who we may not see the rest of the week, but they're there faithfully on Wednesday night. If you speak to them and speak a word of encouragement to them or come and watch them play a basketball game, you are a spiritual parent to that child. And they need you. They need you to be focused on the things of Christ because the rest of the world is not. And they need you to be there for them. The training of our children will consider all aspects of life. I read a beautiful story of Celeste Sibley. Celeste was a one-time columnist for the Atlanta Constitution, which was the paper in Atlanta, Georgia. And she tells a story about taking her three children to a restaurant for breakfast one morning. Now, the restaurant was one of those good old hole-in-the-wall kind of places that had a long bar and the little stools that go all the way down the bar and then these booths that stack up behind it. If you like, think about Waffle House on steroids, that's kind of what they were dealing with. So they went into this restaurant. It was incredibly crowded. It was a very popular place, but she wanted to take her kids there. And it was so crowded that she started to turn around and go out, but the kids said, no, let's stay. Well, what they had to do is they ended up sitting at different places along that bar. So she had her and her three kids spread out all the way down the length of the bar. You would think that in a good southern town like Atlanta, some good old boys would have said, wait, let us move, and y'all can sit together, but that didn't happen, okay? But they were all spread out. Well, when the food came, her daughter Mary, who was 8 years old, was seated at the far end of the counter, and when the food was served, Mary looked up and she screamed down to her mama, Mama, don't people say grace in this place? How many of you had a child like that? I've got one like that. She would have done that. Well, when little Mary screamed that out, this hush came over the entire diner. And before Celeste could figure out what to say, the waitress behind the counter walked up and said, Darling, we sure do. Why don't you say it? All the people in the diner bowed their heads. Little Mary bowed her head and in a clear voice said, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. Don't you love the South? Don't you love godly parents? Don't you love the influence of godly parents on their children? Little Mary Sibley was a blessed child. And so was her mother. Apparently, her mother had taught her that it was right to thank God for your food no matter where you were. You see, parents who follow the Lord and take their faith seriously will often have blessed children. And the children may be blessed more in spite of rather than because of their parents' teaching and training. But teach and train we must. And at the same time, give our children the best example of faith that we can, understanding that our children often make bad choices despite of our best efforts. And in those circumstances, we just pray that the consequences of their bad choices will not damage their future beyond the point where their faith can rescue them. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord. Their children will have a great influence. Second, their life will be blessed with good. In verses 3 through 5, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Goodwill will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Now, understand, first of all, this is not name it, claim it theology. That's not what's going on here. This is not prosperity theology. That's not what's going here. But it does say wealth and riches are in his home. So what in his house? What does that look like then? Whose house are we talking about? It's the blessed man of God and his children. And if you think you're not blessed, look around you. Have you done an inventory lately of what you have in your house? If you have moved lately, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen? If you've moved, you understand. Where did all these clothes come from? When is the last time I wore those shoes? How many TVs do we have? What is this box full of stuff? Whose toys are these? Furniture, we have to move that too. Luxuries of all kinds around us. Food in the refrigerator, food in the pantry, food downstairs that you forgot was stored in that action packer for the really tough time. I mean, where did all this stuff come from? Where did it all come from? In high school, I drove a 1967 Ford Fairlane. Yeah, it came stock with a 390 big block. It was a beast. So I began investigating where Ford got the name Fairlane. I mean, that's just not a word you throw around all the time. So, you know, where did the name Fairlane came from? Well, it turns out it was named after Henry Ford's mansion, Fairlane, which still stands in Dearborn, Michigan to this day. It is a mastered example of man's inventiveness. You can go online and see a picture of it. It is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. It is spectacular. And for its location, Ford chose the beauty of the gentle slope overlooking the meandering River Rouge. 55 rooms spread over 3 floors for a total of 31,000 square feet. 8 fireplaces, one of marble 13 feet high, stood ready to warm the people, while 550 light switches provided light at the flick of a finger. The impression throughout this mansion is that of magnificent design, exquisite taste, and just incredible perfect workmanship. The house cost in 1917, before the incredible shrinking dollar, okay? In 1917, the house cost $1,057,000 to build. One of our young adults after the 9 o'clock service came up and says, you know what that is adjusted for inflation? I said, no, lay it on me. He said, $27 million would be the net worth now. Henry Ford's ingenuity even reached to the power supply for the house. Determined not to be dependent upon public utilities, he built his own power plant at the cost of another $200,000. And it used finely machined turbines to feed electricity to the entire estate, as well as sell to the nearby city for the public utilities there in case of emergency. It really was something. It still is. But when torrential rains hit the Detroit area in April of 1947, the River Rouge went on a rampage. It crept into the furnace under the boilers and smothered the fire, causing steam pressure to fall. The turbines stopped and electricity failed for the first and only time in 40 years. Ironically, that was the very night that Henry Ford lay dying in his bedroom. Though he was surrounded by this incredible engineering marvel, he left the world in the same way that he had entered it 87 years earlier in a cold house lit only by candles. Henry Ford was a wealthy man and had a huge house, but don't we all live in mansions of sorts? Think about it. Think about believers all around the world. We are spoiled rotten. Considering where we came from, don't we all live pretty good? We have houses that keep us dry and warm. We have adequate possessions to meet our needs. But again, we see these as huge blessings, and they can be. Yet again, material wealth should not necessarily be the measure of God's blessing. It can be. It may not be. I think we must never forget how blessed we are and where these blessings come from. Understand, James chapter 1, verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he is trying, bless his heart, with the church at Corinth. You've heard me say before, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. He was constantly teaching that church and us. 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" The Contemporary English Version translates it this way: "So what's so special about you? What do you have that you were not given? And if it was given to you, how can you brag?" We must never brag as though we did something, anything, for ourselves and made ourselves blessed. If we are blessed, it is by the hand of God. At the same time, we must live gracious, compassionate, and righteous lives. God blesses those who live that way. But see, blessings may take a different form than we think, or maybe even recognized at the time. So those who fear the Lord, their children will be influential, they will be blessed. His Spirit, thirdly, our spirit will never be shaken. This comes in verses 6 through 8. "Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes." He will never be shaken. Who does this sound like? To me, it sounds like Job. That's who came to mind. Think about it. After losing all of his wealth, after losing all 10 of his children, this was his response. Job chapter 1, verse 20. "At this," what we just said, "at all of this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.'" As another translation said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Job didn't sin by blaming God for his losses. When disaster after disaster came into his life, he was not shaken. There are others in Scripture that you can read. Same thing. Same pattern. And you say, that's fine and good. And I say, yeah, that is fine and good. They're examples to us. But the real question is, what about us today? How do we respond when trials come our way? Will our faith be shaken, or will we stand firm in the faith, knowing that God will take care of us and that he will provide for us? He will work it all out, either in this lifetime or the next. that he'll work it all out. The Apostle Paul also had his share of trials. Go back and read about this guy's life. After he had his Damascus Road experience, read about what he endured. And then go and read his response to the church at Philippi. In Philippians 1, verses 19 and following, he says, I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As he wrote Romans, incredible treatise of theology, Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And later in verse 28, and we know that in all things the Lord works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Truly blessed is the person who believes God and is in Christ. His faith will not be shaken. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord. How blessed? Our psalm tells us, their children will be mighty, their life will be blessed with good, and their spirit will never be shaken. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we offer you thanks. We say thanks be to God. We say thank you for all that you do in our lives, the way that you bless us. Father, forgive us when we think somehow it's about us. Because, Father, we acknowledge and we openly confess that it's about you. It's about what you desire in our life. It's about how you desire to use us to give glory to your name and to point others to you. Father, help us to be obedient, to receive the blessings, but, Father, to pass them on as well. To pass them on so that your name will be glorified, not ours. God, we love you. We pray for your help. Father, we pray that somehow through this coming week, Father, that we can be a blessing in turn. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not have that foundational relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where it all starts. That's where it has to start. Everything else is folly. It has to be about your relationship with Christ. I'll be here at the front. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn, Count Your Blessings, appropriately enough. And if you do not have a relationship with Christ, it needs to start there. I'll be glad to share with you. If you don't want to come forward, see me this week. Call me. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere. Let's get that settled. The second part of the invitation is if you are here and you are a believer, but somehow you felt like it's about you, sing this hymn and mean it. That can be your confession. That can be the point where you join your heart again with God and your will again with the Father's. The third part of the invitation is if you are here and you like to be a part of this congregation, wonderful, wonderful group of believers. We invite you to be a part of it. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing hymn number 644, Count Your Blessings.
Sorry.
Remain standing for just a minute. Colin, come join me up here, buddy. This is Colin Loftus. He comes this morning. He wants you to know that the Holy Spirit's been dealing with him. He didn't say that, but that's what's been going on in his life. And he has felt that call through Christian education in his family, in his church. And he has asked Jesus to come into his heart. And he wants to be faithful to take the next step and to be baptized. So we're going to be talking to him this week and the weeks following about getting ready for that the second Sunday in March. So if you'll rejoice with him and continue to pray for he and his family and encourage them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, I didn't hear anybody say no. That's good. That's good. They all said amen. So if you'll come by after the benediction and the choral response and greet him, I want to ask family to come join him. If you can move during that choral response time, come on up and join him up here so you can put the whole family together here. I would appreciate if you come by and speak to them. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us. Father, the blessing of your Spirit that guides and leads us, that leads us from this house of worship into a place of ministry, whether that be in our schools or whether that be in our workplace, Father, or whether it be in our social gatherings. We pray that we would glorify you and lift you up and point others to Christ, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.